Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series. And welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. We're back with you again. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're grateful that you've been able to join us tonight. Tuesday night, we were traveling, and we were in St. Louis, one of our target cities. And, by the way, great information we'll share with you about that announcement. We were able to engage you in our blog talk show, but we didn't do live stream. And I'm sorry you didn't get to see my fat, ugly head, but we're back again now. Let me start by thanking those of you that joined Dedrick Moore, Cole Better. I want to thank Brother Sean Dockery. Welcome. Professor Robinson is with us tonight, and a couple of others that have joined us and that we hope to join. Pastor Ricky Waller is our regular panelist who's going to be with us as always. And let me just say the number to give us a call here live so you can talk to us. We're expecting some gentlemen out of Selma, Alabama, that historic city of Selma, Alabama, to tune in with us tonight. 657-383-0944. Tonight we're going to, as we promised, begin our conversation about theology. Okay? Theology. And that is a very, very important topic. You know that building families and communities have been talking since the beginning of March about three pillars of a viable, healthy community. We identified those as being education and its system for the community, the community's economic strength or systematic approaches, and then lastly, that's theology for us. So for the next couple of shows, throughout the month of March, we're going to be talking about theology and its importance. Don't want to offend anyone, but we do want to look at how well it works and perhaps how well we can improve or what we can improve on those models, okay? All righty. And so we're grateful again that you join us tonight. Just by way of brief announcement, you can go to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. It's where you can access our webpage and really learn more about Building Families and Communities Institute, what BFC stands for, and our intention to share our national dialogue and model our seminar and lecture series. While we were in Ferguson, Missouri, you perhaps know what happened about 4 years ago in 2014, that tragic event where young man, Brother Brown, was his life was lost on the streets of Ferguson there. And had an opportunity to drive down the street where it happened. But more importantly, I walked into the place where Ground Zero was, the very Quick Trip gas station that was burned to the ground, literally burned to the ground. The owners had the presence of mind to donate it to the black community in Ferguson with the hopes that they would build something meaningful. And they built a Urban League facility there. And I'm going to be posting some of that on Facebook. Powerful story, powerful story. Brought tears to my eyes to see the resurrection after the ashes and the destruction. And this brother, this gentleman that is there with us, he's going to be joining us, Mr. Terrell Stevens. We're going to have him as our guest during the month of April, as well as another young lady who is a community counselor in the area. And I expect to have two gentlemen to call in from Selma, Alabama. That's not very far from Bessemer and Birmingham, where we are targeting as well. But nonetheless, great story. So tune in with us there. Hope to have some very wholesome dialogue about some things that we actually spoke with a couple of business owners there in the St. Louis area about helping facilitate our coming there. And some of the conversation we've had on the show, we talked to them about the prospects and possibilities. So it's about making it happen. So y'all pray with us and pray for us. Tonight, our topic is the role theology plays in a community's viability. The role theology plays in a community's viability. In other words, the ability to be strong, to be effective, to be productive. Okay? Now, in saying that, let's understand that that's ideal. But unfortunately, we have to ask ourselves, is this a reality for many communities, particularly those in urban America that we've been discussing? And I've had a few of my preacher friends to ask me, why do you stay so focused on urban America? Why do you lean so heavily toward the downtrodden? Well, that's who I'm trying to say, frankly. That's what this is all about. All right? Those that don't need it, if you're doing well, God bless you. I wish you well. But I'm here for the lost and those that need it. And that's why we're here. All right. Having said all of that, we're going to keep it moving here. We're going to do our monologue. If you're just joining us, we're going to do about a 15-minute monologue just to give you some context for our conversation so we have a frame of reference as we talk tonight. And then we're going to open up our phone line, 657-383-0944. Please, we want to hear your questions, your comments. You can communicate with us on Facebook if you're watching online. Join our conversational thread that we'll be happy to dialogue with you and to share your comments. If you have a comment or question, we'll be happy to share that with the listening audience as well. But nonetheless, we definitely encourage you. We just ask that you be respectful of all. Sometimes our opinions don't line up with one another, and I don't expect anybody to agree with what I have to say, you know. But we learn from our conversation, okay? So we just ask that you show a little respect to our callers and everybody respect you and keep it fairly relevant to our conversation. Sometimes we veer off, but we bring it back on track there. Nonetheless, we're grateful for the dialogue that we've had, and we just want to build on that. All right. I think I've said enough about that. Pastor Wallace has been keeping the clock, and I got to keep it moving because I don't want to get in trouble with nobody. All right. The role theology plays in a community's viability. Again, that's our topic tonight. Text tonight from Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 7th verse reads, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart, is not with thee." Hebrews 11th chapter, 1st verse says very simply, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." sounds mysterious to me. All right. As Building Families and Communities Institute continues its monthly focus in March on those three pillars, as we referenced earlier, education, economics, and now theology, we'll turn our attention tonight to theology, a little bit more focus here. Now, this is the last pillar that we shared, and as we promised, we're going to share with you how it relates to making a community viable or a community that is unviable. What is the effect? How does that play? All right? We will talk about how it is theology, either conscious or unconscious, that drives a man's justification for his existence and his behaviors, okay? Not just in America, but universally, all right? In general, theology is the study of the nature of God and religious belief. That's what it focuses on. It studies various beliefs and ideas and so forth universally about God. And you know, religion is an organized form of worship, okay? Moreover, it specifies a particular religious theory, all right, that is presented with a systematic structure. So, a group of men have come together, and they've developed a theory about God, what God expects, what God loves, what is expected of man from God. And they put this down, they've written it down and codified it, okay? And with this theory, there's a particular approach or structured way by which individuals are to read it, to follow it, and so forth and so on, all right? Perhaps the most important aim, though, of the systematic arrangement of a theology or this theory is to unite people of like mind under one principal thought, such that if we say we're Christian, we say we're Muslim, we say we're deists or whatever, we all do the same thing, we speak the same thing, and we behave in the same manner. Okay? We're all sharing one common thought, so we're unified. Okay? In all religions around the world, there's an element of this structure, this theory, for the various cultures or groups that they expect to become one and a part of it. That's what unifies them. All right? Typically, people are trained to be indoctrinated or to brought in so that they can identify themselves by these principles. As they relate to their family, to their friends, and other people around the world, this shapes their sum total character and personality, their beliefs. It's reflective of that. So it becomes their way of life that's driven by this thought, this common thought that they share, okay, and this process of indoctrination. Just for a second, let me talk about a few of the things that you typically experience in the indoctrinating process. And I'm not suggesting that indoctrination is a bad thing, okay? That's not my intention. I'm just trying to get you to understand in the theology and the promoting and the teaching and the dispersion of such, this is how it goes, okay? Particularly in Christian theology and religion. Beginning with the Catholic Church, they use what are called catechisms. And it's nothing but a summary or a narrow version of certain religious principles. And they place them in the forms of questions and answers. Who is your Savior? Jesus Christ. What did he come to do? Save my soul. People become acclimated to repeating that, and that becomes a natural part of who they are. Okay? In addition to that, they also, during certain religious holidays, they follow certain they research certain things, Hail Mary, full of grace, or even in the traditional Christian church and denominations, they have various sayings that are specific of that particular group, okay? And what this does is it helps reinforce this in children and adults alike. So when they all come to collective worship, everybody's saying the same thing. They don't want you to music. All right? Homiletics. Homiletics has to do with the manner in which the preacher or the speaker speaks, okay, and how they prepare their message and they relate it to day-to-day activities or to certain expectations. Oftentimes, a message is geared toward a certain time of the year, Easter or Christmas or something of that nature, okay? Or it's reflective of, for instance, in the Jewish feast days, a certain particular feast day or something to that effect. So it's geared toward preparing people to be in a certain frame of mind. And so they use some sort of codified or holy writ or Bible or some book of teachings that will reinforce these thoughts through scripture and things of that nature. Okay? Then, lastly, for this conversation, I want to talk about the act of proselytizing, which basically involves things that are designed to convert other people. Now, you've all probably seen our friends with the Jehovah's Witness. They are very relentless and adamant about knocking on your door and having a conversation with you to share with you what they believe is important for you to know to please God or Jehovah. Okay? And you got to give them credit. They are on point all the time. Now, there's another groups that do the same type of thing, but they're different efforts. I've seen people stand on the street with bullhorns talking about Jesus is coming. I mean, you know, but this is what drives them. These are some of the things that are consistent with their theological beliefs or their core basis of belief, I should say. All right? Specifically, though, let's bring this home now. As germane to urban America, there's a particular consideration of how theology has and continues to influence the socioeconomic conditions of the people who we see often facing challenges within the urban American experience. Now, I'm being nice by saying urban America, not really calling out who we're talking about, but I think y'all know who I'm talking about. All right? If you don't, give me a call, shoot me a question. I'll be happy to answer for you. We've previously discussed and we've learned in previous conversations that urban American communities are populated largely by people who face socioeconomic hardships for whatever reason. And we're not going to really get into that tonight. Because of that, young people are often prone to compete against one another as well as old folk for the sake of survival. Now, unfortunately, when you look at the theology, which was supposed to unite people, there's been a reverse effect in urban America. Because what happens is, a thing called denominationalism or differences calls some of the same people facing the same socioeconomic challenges to say, I can't go to your church because my church do this differently. They can't be together about what's needed for all the babies in the public school, oftentimes because there's this breakdown and difference in their church affiliation. Are y'all walking with me now? All right? And what happens is, while there's this subconscious fight or battle or competition about getting to heaven the right way, the babies are on their way on a fast track to hell and destruction in the streets. We're talking about theology now and how it either makes a community viable or perhaps it could be the cause of the destruction of one. What happens is in these denominations, they're little pockets of autonomous existence, and everybody got their own idea, and I can't be right because God told me. The sky chief spoke to me, you understand? He told me. Well, the problem is that it seems like the same God that we all say we're trying to meet one day and get to heaven to see is not telling us how to work together. All right, we got 3 episodes to talk about it. I'm going to hit it hard, too, because it's the only way we're going to save. It's the only way we're going to get past these things. Amen? Now, where do we get this from? Where did this come from? Where did we get this idea that it's okay for us to be separate and we break away from one common thought or theology into different things? Well, particularly so for many people in urban America, particularly of the Afro-American experience, when we were brought here under slavery, we were introduced to the effect of the Protestant Reformation, which was caused in the 16th century by a Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther. It said that in 1517, he placed 95 theses, which were complaints about what the Catholic Church was doing wrong for poor Europeans and how it was destroying their lives. He said, these practices that y'all are doing are wrong, we need to change it. He's a Catholic priest, now he's an insider, but he saw something wrong. At the church at Wittenberg in Germany, he placed these things there. And when poor folk looked at that, yeah, that's me. He talked about me. And guess what it did? It encouraged them to say, we're going to now push to break away from the Catholic Church and form our own approach or theological positions to reach God. So we're not subject anymore to that of the Pope or to the Catholic Church. And it led to the Protestant Reformation. You had different denominations. And as Negroes were brought to America during the slave trade, their slave masters embedded their individual denominational beliefs, such as Baptist and Methodist and Calvinist and Presbyterian. They placed that on their slaves. Okay? And that's what they grew up with in their Christian theology, by and large. As a result, over time, being forced in these close-knit environments with limited resources, forcing this competition and this fighting, we even start fighting against what it means to serve God. Oh, that became a battle. And all of a sudden, everybody's on different sheets of music and so forth and so on. Some of them can't even go and worship and fellowship with one another in peace as a result of it. Now, we've said a lot about teaching children and raising them and the values that they need and educating them and so forth and so on. That's true. But can I tell you something? If the babies are watching us with the very thought that drives our justification for our actions, and it's leading us to be either consciously or unconsciously divided and in a competitive mode toward one another, what do you think the gangster disciples and the Crips and the Bloods are going to want to do? The same thing. Dog eat dog. You understand what I'm saying? Every man for himself, God for us all, God willing. Right? I hope y'all will walk with me, and I hope y'all are going to talk with me tonight about this. That's where we're going to be. Now, a few things before I bring the callers in here. I want to point out the fact that, yes, teaching began at home. It does. Formal instructions begin at home. But who is it that teaches that male and that female that get together, that bring that child in the world, how to properly raise themselves and prepare themselves to raise their children in such a way that you have a unified family, and that family become unified with other families to form a community that is on one accord? Okay, what we know is, unfortunately, within urban communities, you can have 20 churches within a five-block radius, and everybody doing different things. Sorry, that's division, not unity. There's a mutated strand of separatism that comes from the theological belief about the same one God. I told you it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be nasty to your mouth, but it'll be good to your belly. The community is disjointed because the leadership, either the politician, the preacher, and the other voices of influence for people in the community are on different sheets of music. The leadership is not there. But more importantly, we have a problem where there is fatherlessness. The first leader is gone. We're going to talk about it. I got three episodes to fix this thing up for you. The overall viability of the urban American community tends to be stifled by greed, jealousy, envy, and this competitive thought that I got to get whatever resources available for me first, right? I got to be recognized first, and I got to have the power first. All right, we got, before I open up the phone lines, let me share with you all this pastor from 1968. I think he summed it up well in this particular song. Claude Jeter, Reverend Claude Jeter is who I'm speaking of. Just for a few minutes here, just bear with me, and then we're going to get into our conversation. Pastor Waller, come on now, come on now. I better bring this thing home because I'm feeling my help now, Brother Pastor. How you doing this evening, sir?
Yeah, I can tell, brother. Yeah, that's all right.
Here's your great friend, 3072, Pastor Waller. Welcome to Talk Straight, darling. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Welcome back, Pastor Waller.
Hey, thank you, 3072. How are you?
Great, great.
Very good, very good.
Now, y'all, maybe I oversimplified this, Pastor Waller, in 3072 and other listening audience. Is it that simple as just only believing? Can we fix the problems of the urban American community with just believing? Is it all it takes? Now, I like the way Dr. Jeter's singing now, Reverend Jeter's now, but is that all it takes, or is it going to take something else?
Well, I think you just said it earlier in your monologue. If I'm not mistaken, I think you say you had some friends of yours. I don't know if you said it was pastor friends. And they say they asked you a question about the downtrodden.
Right.
Are you sure they asked you that question?
That's what they asked, man. Why are we focusing on that so much?
Yeah, okay, why are you focusing on that so much? Okay, why would you focus on that so much? So because it's pinned in the Word of God, you shouldn't focus on that so much because everybody's already all right. Focus on the one that's already all right. Is that what that means? Because if you're not focusing on the downtrodden, you understand, that's out there asking for help, then where should the focus be? Because if I leave out of a church building, and I'm just saying this once I found out, not because I saw it in the Word, but just knowing that I hear it is one thing. But after I seen it in the Word now, it says, lift up your eyes and look up on the field. You know, look out the building, look up on the field and see that I'm talking about the people, they're already crying out. You know, it's already ripe for harvest. Don't wait 4 months and then come harvest. He said, look right now. As soon as you can get him, just look up on the seal. You're going to be hurting people. That's the downtrodden. You know what I mean? So that's the only way it's going to be restored is you have to make sure you don't forget about them. Unless you've never been there before, you've never been downtrodden. You can see that if you look right in your eyes and say, I can tell this is someone that's down. But if you hadn't been down or anything, maybe that's a possibility that you can't see that with your eyes wide open. You know, so I understand.
But now, help me with this now, because I could be wrong. I realize I may be in error in my thinking. But isn't that what this is really, what theology is supposed to do? To help you to identify yourself and to motivate and encourage you to step into your faith and to make it work for you. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that. Help me with that. What about 3072? What she think about that?
Well, I mean, I think definitely that's what I get, you know, that it's all about. It's supposed to be, life-giving, inspirational, motivational even. Right. I mean, if nobody is there to tend to the widow or to the motherless or to the homeless or to the sick and shut-in, then, I mean, they weren't put here just to fall by the wayside, for people to watch them fall by the wayside and at least not try to do anything. I mean, so, yeah, now, but with that being said, I could see the skepticism in them saying, why focus on them? Because then you have to look at all the social ills again. You look at people who has been down for so long, and it's become a culture, a way of life for them, sadly to say. So, yeah, change is always scary, and they don't know how to embrace it or accept it even. So
now,
that's a challenge. It's challenging.
Sure. But I don't want to beat you up. I don't want to beat you up, 3072. But the text, Proverbs 3 and 7 says, for as he think, so is he. So now, if I think I'm lost, if I think I'm a failure, if I convince myself that I'm unworthy of doing any better, that's where I'm going to be. That's where I'm going to live, right?
I agree,
Now, watch this, though. Watch this. Watch what Hebrews says. Watch what Apostle Paul says in Hebrew. Now, faith is the substance. I want to put a pin right there. All you done been through in the hood and the ghetto, all the negative, all the bad, is the substance of what you hope for. What that mean, Brother Pastor? Break that down to me like I'm 3 years old. What that mean to hope for something, Brother Pastor?
You're looking for change to take place. You know what I mean?
Watch out,
you're looking for change.
Say what?
You know, it's available. It can be accomplished.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's the only way you can be able to see it is that this change is available and it's possible. So that's where the substance comes in at. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to agree with you both. But, again, I've been there. I'm working my way out of that hopeless, that just grown used to, you know, a certain kind of norm and, well, this is how it go. I struggle from paycheck to paycheck. Well, I'm not going to change my career because I know this field, you know. What if I get out there and try something else at my age now? Just a lot of things that people worry about in not succeeding. However, I'm here to tell them. I'm a living witness. Man, if you just put one foot out and drag the other along, and you look up and you done made it to a whole nother country, a whole nother continent before you know it. And you got so much more than what you had just staying in that rut. So, I mean, I see both sides and I understand both sides. But, yeah, I mean, it's a challenge. That's the problem, the challenge. So you need some people that are, well-equipped enough to overcome those barriers and those challenges enough to instill faith, to teach people, hey, you can do it, you can make it.
Right, right. So if I could pick go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
No, I said very good. No, very good. I mean, that what she just said, she made that move. She took that one foot. And as tough as that other one was to follow, it had to because she made the first step. You see, and that's one of the hardest things for people to do.
Oh,
once
man,
they come
man.
In. Yeah, that comfort zone is comfortable.
Oh,
you
man.
You know what I mean? Even if it's a miserable one, miserable loves,
yep.
you know what I
yep.
mean? It's a good
yep.
thing going on with that comfort.
Yep.
But when you take and make
yep.
that move, it's like, if I want to go to Memphis, I got to depart from Nashville.
That's right.
You know, I have to do that. In spite of whether I ever been there before, I still have to make that move.
You gotta
that's
go
what
there.
The Word of God says. This is to depart
yep.
from evil.
Right.
Notice something. It
yep.
says depart from evil now and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So there's a lot of people that's out there that's doing evil that wants out, that would love to get out,
yep.
but with no one to encourage them. I mean, it's like, hey, what else are they supposed to do other than what they
and
learned?
And
you know,
not to cut you off, Pastor Waller, but, you know, again, and I hate to just keep on talking about myself, but, I mean, God has been truly, man,
that's
great.
True.
It's like sometimes
that's
people have to be taken and thrown literally off a Navy pier into the lake. You got to just be thrown out
oh
there.
My.
Throw them, because
okay.
guess what? If you try to lead them down there on a boat or with a life jacket, or they're not going to do it. They're not. They're going to fight. They're going to kick. They're going to know I can't. No, if you throw they behind out there, they have no other recourse. They have no other choice but to swim and make it back to the shore.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
let me piggyback off of that 3072. Now, so who then has the greatest voice of authority in the family? Is it the preacher then, or should the people themselves decide we're going to determine our course of action? Or how much weight should they give the preacher or the church, if you will?
Well, I think that if there is a male of the household, and the preacher should go hand in hand. Now, if there isn't a male of the household, then let's hope that the preacher is an honest and decent one that's not going to be trying to do other things.
What did you say? Let's what? Did you hear that, Pastor? He said, let's hope that they are.
Let's
My
hope.
God.
What is said about faith
that?
Being the substance of things hoped for?
Now, why do you say that? Why do you cast that doubt there?
No, and I'm honestly, I'm not trying to be funny, but I am being serious. You have, and not just the preachers, you have people in higher positions that
sure.
only strive to
sure.
get there for the wrong reasons. Even you got some police that want to be the police just to abuse people. You got some pastors want to be a pastor just to be sneaky and slick and pretend like he can. You got doctors that want to be doctors for their own glory, their own fame, rather than what is intended for, which is to save lives, to help.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. I said it jokingly, but I know you're right. Pastor, I've talked to some mothers about allowing their sons to come to my seminars and workshop. And I couldn't be offended by them hesitating to wonder,
mm-hmm.
what kind of preacher are you? 3072.
Right.
That's your point, right?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
How do I know I can trust that you're not going to molest or mislead or malign their thinking in this? So, I mean...
How do I know that you're not trying to brainwash me into, I mean, anything?
Right.
Good point. Right. Good point. Now, interesting you say that, because 3072 and Pastor Waller, when you think about what the theology started with, if it was based on the Bible and principles of truth, all of a sudden we've gotten way away from where you started now. And we've got all these other mixed up ideas and confusing thoughts, and people don't know what to believe. Everybody telling you one thing, and the other one's telling you another. You don't know who to believe or what to believe. And this is a constant issue within many urban communities or neighborhoods that are supposed to make up.
Yeah,
go ahead, Pastor,
it still is. Yeah, it is. And, you know, when I listen to the power of knowledge of something good, I still have to remember, as 3072, about saying, who know about both sides. If you know about both sides, then you have compassion. Because what compassion does, it sympathizes with what's going on outside.
You know,
it has power. Compassion has power. Listen to what the Word of God said. I mean, I'm just listening to it from years ago on how when you say Jesus went through cities and villages teaching and preaching in the synagogue and healing every kind of sickness and disease that was among the people. But it also said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. You see, it must be something about compassion that he was moved with compassion on them because he knew they was like sheep lost without a shepherd. And see, when people are without a shepherd, and then you're not concerned about them, talking about the downtrodden, as if, don't look at them. We've got it made now. Or either you've never been there, whichever one it is. I mean, I think it's a sad case because you mentioned pastor friend. And that's not to belittle them. That's to say, hey, it's got an air conditioner going in the summertime, and it's got the heat on in the wintertime. It's no outside right about now, you know. And I think it's a sad thing. When Jesus had that compassion, it must be power when you have compassion on people. You will not ride by them constantly seeing what's going on. You have to have a little boldness in you to just make a stop.
I was going to just piggyback off. Sorry, Reverend Doctor, were you going to say something?
No. Go ahead. That was Pastor Walker. Wait, I think you finished.
I'm sorry. I was just going to piggyback off of what he was saying about compassion. Let's think about the word compassion. What does that mean? What does it mean to be compassionate?
Right.
I mean, people use it all the time, but what does that really mean? Compassion is a feeling first, a feeling of love. Of a need to help, of a concern, of a—I mean, what is that? That's the thing.
Things like that. That's what it means. You know, in other words, you have a. And that was a great question. I love the question because you're right. We need to know what compassion really means.
May argue that they never felt. They don't know what compassion feels like. Yeah, I see people hungry, and I'm sorry they're hungry, but no, to really feel like I need to give them my food because I had some earlier. I want some, but I can do without this because they haven't had nothing all day.
Now that's real compassion.
Yeah.
Let me go. We got a caller that's joined our conversation. I think this is Professor Robinson, 4639. Welcome to Talk Straight this evening, sir.
Good evening. How you doing?
Good evening. Question or comment thus far?
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, Beth. Good evening, 3072. Professor, I have a question, and for the two pastors. Pastor Doctor, you mentioned that there are X number of churches on a corner in a neighborhood, and a lot of these churches, the pastors, the ministers, they're part of different associations, organizations, conferences, and so based on your access, and this is for the two of you, what type of direction, what type of strategic plan, what type of focus is coming from and direction and guidance is coming from those bodies?
Go ahead, Pastor Waller. I'll let you go first.
you say what kind of, and you ask that question again because I got a little bit of
The question is around the guidance, the direction, the strategic plan, the vision, and how is that being shared with all of the different pastors and the congregations and the community, and how is it manifesting itself within the communities? What's being conveyed? What is the direction? What guidance?
Great question. Go ahead, Pastor. He got it, man.
I thank you for the question. I really do appreciate the question. Now, if I can get personal with what I know that I'm assigned to do, I have to say that I go out into my community because I was told to go home to tell my friends what the Lord has done for me. Mm-hmm. And so I went. And the thing is that there are a lot of hurting people, so I get right in the midst of all of them. And I don't determine who's good or who's bad, because I was told to go out on the corners, you know, and compel all men to come, whether they're good or bad. You know, and so that's what I do. It's like going to your own little corner of the world, and I know I'm not trying to reach everybody as if I'm the one that's going to do this, but I can say in my community, if you come to West Nashville on 40th, while I'm out in the midst of everybody. Now, this is a humble thing. Now, when I leave, I don't know, it may be an explosion. But just because I go out there and I'm putting the seed down, I'll come back later on and put a little water down on it. If nobody else is
there, you
me,
go.
I just been doing what I'm assigned to do. So, and you saying, what is the outcome? The word of God said we walk by faith and not by sight. So I put the seed down.
There you go.
And later, somebody might come and say, I sure appreciate you coming out here, man. I changed my life. I didn't go to the church that you attend, but I went to a church 30 miles from there. However, whatever they may say, you know, and it's a good thing. I'm going to say this and I'm going to turn it back over. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the 100 sheep. And when one of them went astray, he left the 99 and went to see about that one. And when that one was rescued, there was a rejoicing thing in heaven concerning that one. So I'm not worried about the numbers. I just go out there and do the work. So
yeah,
working. Believe me, I'm in the midst of it all, man. I mean, there's some things I would like to say. There's not enough time to say it. And I think Pastor Docker, even before he even mentioned it one time, he said something about that look that he said, and you got someone in there that's angry and everything. See, I've been in the midst of that type of stuff. Since he's been talking about it. And, man, it's nothing to play with. I don't play with this out here, Professor. So it's working, even when I don't see it working. And that's just the way it is. When you do what the Lord asks you to do, you've done your part.
That's it. That's it.
Well, now, Pastor Waller, I appreciate the undertone of Professor's question. I've asked that question myself, and Professor, I have went to now, literally, since my travels, over 200 pastors that I have engaged. And you know what everybody's saying, Professor Robinson? Oh, we got that, we got this going, we got that going, and we're doing this, and we got our young people in our church, they come and they participate, they list the days, and they talk about some of them in college, some of them in high school, and they have tutoring services, and they have some examples of some great things going on. So I asked the same question, how is it that we can take this beyond your walls, though, and we can put a number, we can quantify this success, such that we can replicate it other places? And that's really what our model is about in terms of building families and communities institute. I would like to document whatever methods you're using. Let's come up with an evaluation rubric, and let's take this rubric and say that if someone else wanted to repeat what you're doing, the successes, how is it that they can model your behaviors? I think that's the essence of your question. Is that not, Professor?
Yeah, let me ask it a different way, or let me add an additional wrinkle to it. I'm going to put something out in the atmosphere, out in the ethos, that says, let's pick one day, just one day, where we as black people say we are not going to have one black person killed by another black person. And let's get the community to lead that effort. Let's get our churches, our church leaders, our politicians, our business owners, our fraternities, sororities, whatever it is. But just one day. Where we say it's not going to happen. Just one day. That's it.
Okay.
Pick a day.
Okay.
The Pastor Wallace said that when he's there are no gunshots. When he leaves, there could be an explosion. Well, maybe we need to encourage more pastors, more people, more community members to be there, whatever it takes in order to just for one day.
That's right.
Have zero killings where a black person kills another black person.
Then right. can I say something?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I think that is a great idea and a great concept and all that. Guess what it takes to do that even? It takes money. And that's the problem that a lot of the black churches in the communities are having. We don't have the funds nor the resources to go out there and try different things and document what's working and what's not. As soon as we get started with the little that we've raised or the little that we've saved, it's a done deal. It's over. And everything is gone kaput, and there's no more money to continue the research. So, therefore, to me, it just seems like we're spending our...
Excuse me. I don't think that this is a money issue.
I really do.
But I can show you statistics that we have money. We have a whole lot of money. We spend a whole lot of money.
Okay. Hey, Professor, let me tell you something. So you just made a good point about, and I agree with you. You remember the Million Man March? That was a beautiful thing. That took
the
money.
The Million Man March. Oh, yeah.
Time, too. Listen, so this thing you were talking would be great. That would actually take, seriously, people around the world, if they were going to do it, let's just say everybody was agreement. People have to take off of work. People have to travel.
You've
got to be set up.
No. This is just,
all right.
Don't kill anybody. That's all this
Listen
is.
Listen to what he said.
Okay.
Explain how that works.
Don't kill anybody. There's no money involved.
Well, you
just
mentioned, listen, even for that, and I hear what you're saying. I hear you. Let's not do that. But even for that, guess what? Some people are going to have to be in place to talk some other people down from getting out of that squabble, from whatever's going to happen that's going to cause them to pull a gun or kill or stab or whatever they're going to do. Somebody's going to have to be there.
Hey, 3072, I hear you, 3072. Let's hear Professor respond and see if he can answer your core concern there.
Okay.
Go ahead, Professor.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm piggybacking on what Pastor Wallace said when he said that when he's there, there are no gunshots. Now,
right.
We can't have him there 24/7.
Right.
But
right.
there
yeah.
are, and I'm going to piggyback on what Pastor Docker was saying when he said that there are 20 in the neighborhood or square mile. I don't remember the exact thing, but we have enough people.
Okay.
And you know, we have Black Lives Matters. We have, you know, all these NAACP, the Urban League, and so on. If we just pick one day where we say black folks don't kill other black folks, just one day, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can let me interject this, guys. The real issue is not that we don't have money. It's not that we don't have people. It's not that we don't have human resources or capital.
Okay.
It's not that there is no need, nor is it the case that we don't know who and what the problem is. The real problem is the divisive nature of the neighborhood and the competition that exists there. Now, 3072, I can take you right now, Professor, to a five-block radius, and we can count at least 20 places that have different names as churches on them. All right? So the question is, how can we open those doors and bring the people that are presumably inside of those doors out under one common thought? Since we are driven by the same belief in what? God. And say, do what Professor's saying. Let's make sure that this one day that nobody within this five-block radius gets shot.
How? Okay, how are you going to do that? How?
All right. Let's go deep with it. So the people that are within the walls live within that neighborhood, right?
Sure.
And if you don't do nothing but go door knocking and have an honest conversation with the people there to say, what we want to do is to make sure none of our neighbors get shot today. So come with us.
Okay.
Where are your children? Tell us where your children are. Who is it that's doing the shooting? Is it the Boogerman? Is it Superman?
So are you,
is it the Easter
are you
Bunny?
Suggesting maybe to do an all-night or a 24-hour vigil even to keep a
what?
Watch?
If that
keep
works,
a,
if that works.
I mean,
if that works.
That's the only way you're going to stop, seriously,
okay,
somebody
but
from
but
killing somebody.
It's
to have
you,
them
30,
in front of you.
37-2.
Okay.
I think we're in agreement with you. What Professor is saying, he doesn't really care what the methodology is. He said, let's do it, and let's document it.
Okay.
Is that right, Professor?
Yeah, okay.
Is that right, Professor?
Is he there?
Are you there, Professor Robinson?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can
I'm
you
here.
Hear me? Okay.
I can hear you. Whatever we need to do, if we need to march, if we need to have parties, if we need to have cookouts, if we need to play some basketball games, whatever we need to do, let's just pick one day where we
okay.
say we are not going to kill a black person.
Yes. Now, Pastor Waller will verify this. I got in trouble on a local radio show. I shouldn't say trouble, but some people were troubled by the suggestion that particularly on Sunday, the doors of the church are locked, and the membership, the pastor and the membership go to the streets and don't just go downtown where the business district is, but go to where the highest crime rates are indicated and have church there. Don't just have church for an hour, but have it all day. Talk to them about what their response was, Pastor Waller. What did you hear the response was?
I remember they act like he broke the law or something, like it was against the law to go out in the streets or something. You know, that's the way, like he said, the law. Basically, that's what needs to be done. It's okay to take and go to the street because we can't have them not stop doing that in the street. They are so faithful that whether they're gunning each other down or selling drugs or doing drugs or just talking
hey.
To you that praise each other or not, they are faithful at it.
Right.
And one of the most saddest things I found out about the people who attend church, who say they love God, that don't really put it in action, is that they're faithful on one day for a few hours. You see? And then while the whole world is being corrupted by one another in a self-destruction mode, and as you was talking, Professor, this is something that I really have to fight for every day, and I'm not going to stop until that time takes place. Even though I have the equipment, and 37-2 said something that was valuable to me, and I'm saying this with all my heart. If people are in the church are afraid to go out, then support somebody who's not, meaning that finances are necessary, because I had money that corrupted my community. I had a lot of money. And I did a lot of damage to my community with money. So likewise, I've done a whole lot with little or no money at all, without a doubt. But I can only imagine with some money what I can do. You know what I mean? It is necessary. Finances are really necessary to get things done. And if everybody take care of their own little corner of the world and all the churches all over the world, and I'm talking about I didn't sell dope to white people. And I'm going to just get honest with you. I sold and corrupted black people. You understand, my own people, and I'm sad about it because of what I've done. So I fight real hard. I don't care about what's going on. This is nothing to take lightly. These young people are destroying each other and don't even have a clue. You understand what I'm saying? Because once you get in the trap, it would not let you see you're in a trap. It doesn't look like a trap. It doesn't seem like a trap. It don't even sound like a trap. You see what I'm saying? So, yes, it takes finance, you know, to do some things that can be done. And believe me, it would do a lot of good if people did recognize that. And if it takes 24 hours in a day, and you say, Professor, change it, because I couldn't stay there 24 hours, no, because I had to leave and somebody else can come in. Because that's the way the game is in the street. Somebody take the time that it takes to do this and that and the other, and then somebody else come in after that, and it's still flowing. You know? So it's a good 24 hours is not going to hurt to see it happen throughout the whole day, then there's a greater concern. They say, hey, man, they're really concerned about it. They've been out here all day long, you know, but that's not happening.
Well, so that's what I agree with. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that I agree in substance with what everybody's saying. The reality here is, and I'm glad the conversation is taking this direction, because when we talk about viability, the truth of the matter is it's going to take more than money or anything else, people, to want to make that change. Now, you said something about folk being afraid, and it is true that particularly young people have gotten a lot of folk living literally in fear in certain neighborhoods, to literally afraid to come outside their house. That's
without
what
a
I
doubt.
Mean. And the truth of the matter is, if we go to the streets, when we go to the streets, as you have done, Pastor Walla, as I have done, what you're going to find there are the fish that need to be caught and skinned. But you can't catch them until you go what? Get in that water. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. You got to go out there.
You got to get in that water. And you can't be scared to get your hair wet or get your clothes wet. Now, bringing it back to our conversation for today, when we think about the basic theology and the thought, I mentioned the churches, Professor, to emphasize the fact that there are different directions of people who say they're going in one direction. They're all going in a different direction, and at the end of the day, we're missing a grand opportunity, and that is, I've said before, that perhaps people need to put the Bible down for a second and just have an honest conversation with one another about what your problem is and what together you can do to solve it. That's taking nothing away from the Bible. That is not taking anything away from God. But what that is doing is unifying you in the thought and the effort to solve or resolve an issue. Is there anything wrong with that, anybody?
No.
Okay. Let me just pause for a second. 657-383-0944 is the number you can call if you're listening to us. This is Talk Straight. Your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, Pastor Ricky Waller, our regular panelist on with us. And we got Professor Robinson and great caller, 3072, who's been joining us here out of Florida. And we're grateful for each of you that are listening on Facebook. Thank you again for tuning in. We recognize that you've spent a little time with us. We welcome you to give us a call here and offer your questions or comments. Having said that, we're moving back to our conversation. So I want to ask a question before we leave. We've got about 27 minutes here, and I want to pose this question, and I'd like for us I have an answer for it. Let me just say I do have an idea about it, but I want to hear what your response is. Do you know what the role that theology has played in the current influence of urban American culture, the way of life there? And I'm assuming y'all know what that way is. I know you know, Pastor Wallace. What role has theology played in shaping that? Anybody? All righty. Let me go to 3072. Are you there, 3072?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm here.
Would you like to respond to that question? What role has theology played and the shaping of the current culture of urban America?
To me it don't seem like it's played as big a role as it has in the past. When you were first doing your monologue, I was thinking to myself, wow, what if some of these people in the Black community now, I was once told, if you believed in nothing, then you fall for anything. So, man, is it terrible for somebody to believe in Buddha as long as they had righteous principles, or to be a Catholic, or to be a Muslim, or to be Christian, or be something positive? Something, that's a start. That's a start. And then we can work on coming together, like you were saying, as a whole, to try to better the communities. So to me, it's not playing a big enough part.
I see. Were you going to? Did you have something to say there, Pastor Wallace? Pastor. Go ahead, Professor.
I want to piggyback on, and I hate saying 3072. What is your name?
What is your name, he said. He's trying
Mika,
to call you by
I'm
number.
Mika.
What's your name?
It's okay. It's all right. Mika.
Okay. All right, Mika. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mika.
Yeah.
Mika. I want to piggyback on Mika and just look on that a second. I think it's bigger than just theology, and I'm going to use the word church. For the space that they play, I agree. Just looking at the results, and I focus on facts, and you guys know that. We have to do more. They have to do more. But, you know, and I don't necessarily say do more, but do better. I want to use that term, do better, because you don't have to work real hard sometimes. Sometimes you just have to work better. And so we know the issues that are out there, but I think it's, no, I know it's our politicians, it's our 10 percenters, it's whatever. We have to do a better job, but collectively we all have to come to the table and say we have to do better, we have to do more.
Okay.
And what role are we looking for you to play? How much extra are we looking for you to do based on the role that we think that you should play in this particular area? But it's a collective thing. It's not just theology. It's not just the church.
Well, I mean, that the church was the basis of the beginning of somebody's life. And primarily, I think it goes a step, like, before now. This ought to be taught. This should be taught, ingrained, engraved in a child. So when they get older, they marry, they have children, it's taught, it's passed down. That was the intent. But that's broken. It's fallen today, which is what the major problem is. So, again, back to re-socialization, being taught and brought up again, grown-ups now as they were children or so.
So stop right there, Mika. What happens is,
yeah,
before you send your child to the school to get the education that
yeah
is taught, these values are instilled in them at home. Are y'all
Hallelujah
following what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
And so what happens is, What encourages the child to be obedient, to be engaged in the
yes
learning process
yes
in school, is that at home
yes
certain values were in place, were
yes
placed in them,
yes
were instilled.
Yes.
And that's why all of them in the classroom are able to behave, show due respect to the teacher and whomever else is there to provide them that formal instruction. So can
yes
you see how this pillar plays, and it works in tandem
yes
with of education, its aim, its purpose,
a major
as well
role
as economics.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And what happens,
Professor, if you want to document, I'm sorry, that's what we need to be going out doing and documenting those numbers. How many parents can we reach in preschool even before they get to elementary,
wow,
get to middle, and get to high school? Then you'll really see your numbers produce and grow.
Professor
okay
Rogers.
We yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're going to make a statement. I apologize.
Oh, no. I was saying we can definitely take a look at it and figure out what we need to be measuring, but there are a lot of metrics out there already. And
mm-hmm
so as we and you know, Pastor Dockery said, we know what the issues are. And we know that there's some really good solutions that, you know, were here last year, the year before that, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Right.
We
right
just need to start to really implement those and scale those solutions. And
mm-hmm
I just say that the solutions are bigger than just theology and the church. It's the schools. It's the businesses. It's a community. And how does
that
this community?
That's right. Go ahead, Professor. She was agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Yes, and it does start at home. And but the key is, let's identify the things that work, and then let's agree that we have to do better and pick a couple things, not everything, because there are just too many things. Pick one or two things, and then let's focus on doing these things extremely well.
Let's teach our no manners to 1 and 2 year olds. Let's grab them by their little diapers and train them up in the way they should go.
So if I might bring tonight's conversation into our general dialogue about the pillars of a community, I couldn't agree with you more that it's vitally important that you one doesn't work without the other. Now, Miss Mika, you talked about the money that it takes, and correctly Professor Robinson pointed out the fact it's plenty of money in the in these urban areas that is spent. Where it's spent and how it's spent is the question that they have to ask themselves, and how can I bring that back to me, to my neighborhood, to where I can see I can get the maximum effect of it. That's really the question. So when we talk about pulling these pillars together, what I'm trying to get at is how we can make, when Pastor Waller, we go to the hood, we can teach people how to themselves improve their neighborhoods and take the bad and turn it to a good. That's really what we need. That's really what we're aiming to do. And we understand that everything that your community sits on are these three pillars. That's my inference, that your community rests on these three principles or these pillars. And if you get these right, one of the problems, one of the reasons we can't share our money is because we spend most of our money in church or on things at church, the clothes that we wear to church, right? When people get out of church on Sunday, what they do? They go do what, Mika? Don't they go eat often?
We are going to Golden Corral. We're going to Shoney.
Let's go to the black-owned restaurants.
Say that again, Professor.
Let's go. If we're going to go spend money, let's go spend money in the black-owned restaurants.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's proof. But look, so the low-budget ones even go to church's chicken. I mean, KFC.
Well, again.
No. We're spending money. Let's spend the money in a black-owned business.
I agree with you.
And Pastor Waller, what's wrong with a preacher telling their congregants, it's your money, you do what you want to, but why not go and help one of these black businesses?
Guess what? That's right. And
this.
If I was that black business, I would support that church.
Well, that's exactly right.
They're supporting
me.
Exactly.
That's the motivation.
Yes, because they're supporting me. That's right.
Mika, that's the motivation. See, the church understands that reciprocity. When you give back that which you receive, you keep it coming.
Yes.
You understand
what
I'm saying?
That's compassion. That's a form of compassion being shown.
Now, Mika, you can see how you can pay for what Professor Robinson was talking about now, can't you?
Right.
You do have money, don't you?
We
are just not capitalizing on and using it to our maximum benefit.
I tell y'all, I'm going to collect some money, I'm going to get some people together, and I'm going to go build a church on Mars. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get all these.
We're
going to start our own community. That's right.
Don't go all the way to Mars. We need you right here on Earth. Don't go to Mars.
Yeah, you know what? It's amazing that you know when you find something that works, and then you know that it works, and you know it's like some people may say, "You're not perfect. You can't do this and that and other. You can't do this." But if the Word of God says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," and you believe that, and you stand on that, you see what I mean. And then here it is, as we've been talking, and it's not anything against anyone else, but I know the truth is the only thing I found to make people free. And that's what I got connected. I got connected with the truth. I was able to overcome a 20-plus-year addiction to a strong, powerful chemical called heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know what being free is all about. I know that it works. It's a guarantee. And the word of God does say this. He said it and made it very plain to me, you know. And he said, and if you do these things, you shall never fall. In other words, once you make your calling and be sure and do these things, he said, if you do these things, you would never fall. So when you have this kind of information and then you lacking something in particular called money, because if it was money that can make a difference, then why not put it together and give it to somebody that know what to do and see if it works?
That's
you never
right.
know.
That's
you never
right.
know. You try. So you can talk. But if you know you got the money, write the check. Write the check.
But
is all
we're
going
to have
check.
To start being more trustworthy and more transparent with one another, too. So people
now.
Are scared. Yeah.
Now, Mika and Pastor Waller, Thursday, you're going to probably understand a little bit better why certain people are apprehensive more and more today about giving their money.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
people that look like. That's
yeah.
what we're
going to
talk
they,
about Thursday.
Yeah. Hey, Pastor,
that's a barrier that you have to remove.
Huh? Yeah, listen. Out in the real world, they spending the money, man. I mean,
they are.
The ones that out there kept giving it, they spending the money. I'm talking about faithfully. I mean, with confidence. They're not holding
yes,
back. I mean, they're spending a big piece of it. They're not playing out there. They're spending it for real. And they're not,
yes, sir.
And they're not afraid. They're not afraid to take a chance. You understand what I'm saying? When the people who say they love God is holding back, oh, I don't want to do this. I wonder, should I do this? I'm not going to do this because this, this, and that, and the other. But where's your faith? If you got a strong dose of faith deep within you and you know you got the money and you know you're afraid to go out there, somebody who you see out there doing it and just make it plain. Write the check.
Okay.
That's what I do. You know?
I think
well,
you will
understand
find
that. Yeah.
Go ahead,
Mika.
No, I was going to say, I understand.
Now.
He's right.
Yeah.
You are right, Pastor Waller. But then I'm going to be the statistic out there taking a black life when I done gave you my last $20,000 I've been saving for 40 years.
Ah.
And I'm investing you. I'm investing you in Puerto Rico.
What?
No.
Hey,
no,
look,
we got a problem.
Pastor Waller. The OJ. Remember that OJ song? Hey, Pastor
yeah.
Waller, remember the O.J. song,
uh-huh.
Don't Call Me Brother?
Yeah, I know you really mean it.
Yeah, what the
hell? Yeah, you don't
look,
really mean it, don't call me.
Listen to what
yeah.
O.J. said. They said
yeah.
that I come outside and my car,
yeah.
the door is wide open.
Yeah.
My dashboard
right.
is tore all to pieces, and you
yeah.
coming down the street
yeah.
grinning. Don't call me brother
yeah.
unless you really mean it, because I know you hurt. That's
yeah.
what we're gonna talk
Internet.
About Thursday night.
That's good, man.
That's coming
yeah.
Thursday night. We're gonna hit it, Professor Robinson. I think it's important to understand the root cause of certain behaviors in order for you to start changing them. See, we can modify them, but we got to change our environment and our behavioral mindset and the constructs that drive that behavior. And one of the problems is
very
we
true.
Have a theology in the hood that says kill or be killed. I got to get it the way I live and get mine before you get there. That's a that's a sick theology that exists that we got to first
that
identify,
yes.
isolate
yep.
it, and then we have to eliminate it. We're going to talk about
yeah.
it Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about it Thursday. But now, some people are upset by that, Professor Robinson, because they say, well, now that ain't what the church is supposed to do. We're not sociologists. Why not? We're not psychologists. Why not? We're not economists. Why not? We're not historians.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? That's what's going to help you fix your problem.
Yeah.
It comes down to what role do you want to play?
Yes, sir.
How large of a footprint do you want in the community? And the more that you can help the community to improve, the individuals to improve, that's going to uplift the church and the role that the church
exactly.
plays within that community. And so being able to offer people ways to improve their individual circumstance and situation is only going to help the community and help the church in the process.
And that's what we want, right? Isn't that what we want? I mean, I thought that's what we were here for. I thought that's what we were here for.
That's it. That would be a wonderful thing.
Man, 9 minutes, Pastor Waller. What are you doing with the clock? What are you doing
man,
with the clock?
Yeah, something been stirred up, man. I thought it might have been 25 minutes. You say 9 minutes, Jeff. Okay, man.
Now, didn't happen last week when he went on the show.
Oh, man, it didn't happen last week. Did
it? Oh, my. 37,
250.
All right. That's my
and as we bring closure to tonight's conversation, though, I like where Professor Robinson is. Now, how are we going to begin to document the effective conversation? I gave when I was in St. Louis, I gave out some of the previous conversation and dialogues from the blog talk show, and the intent was to kind of help prime people for some of the conversation that we're having. I was going to share with you, Professor Robinson. Gentlemen, walked me through the facility there at the Urban League. They had a room for young men who wanted to improve their life and find skills and become employed and get their GED and what have you. And they insisted that they wear a shirt and a tie, but they provided shoes, shirt, ties, jackets for them. So I said, can I get one? He said, no, you got one already. But I said, let's say this. I said to him, I talked about your program, Professor Robinson, and I asked him, did he that was a possibility that perhaps some of those young men can serve as readers to classrooms via your program. He said, man, I would love to talk about that. So I promised him that I was going to connect you guys, and I still have to put your information on our website, Professor Robinson. But I said that to say, my goodness, what a novel opportunity to take these young men whose life themselves, Pastor Waller, were dismal and disarray, and to put them in a position to where for 15 minutes they can make a difference in the life of a young person across America. Now what Professor Robin is doing is bringing reading across, not just in one place, but in multiple places at one time. But it was interesting to hear the response, Professor Robinson. Did you want to comment or respond to that?
Oh, I thank you for sharing the opportunity with them, and so our goal is to in the next 5 to 10 years really change the direction that we're heading in, or provide the opportunity for us to really say we're going to do some things differently. And so this is a great opportunity to discuss it and to share it with people, but at the end of the day, we have to do more better things. And we will get there. We just have to say that this is the direction, and here's how we're going to measure it so that we know how we're doing. So let's put a plan in place and let's do it. We're very smart. We're very, very smart people.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Pastor, you want to? No, let's go to 3072. Final thought, 3072. We're down within our last few minutes here.
There is no final thought. I think what Pastor or the professor is saying is correct. I agree with you and Pastor Waller. So it's just a matter of, like he said, do it. Just do it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's beautiful.
A lot of times, Pastor, we people, and I think it's just a human thing, until we learn to get over it, we're afraid of our own potential sometimes, and we have to encourage ourselves and build ourselves up to act on many things that we know and that we can do. So, but there's yet hope. There's yet hope. Okay. Pastor, go ahead. Final thought to wrap us up here as we prepare to... time is getting away from us, man.
Yes, I appreciate everyone who had something to offer. And as usual, you know, it's a really good thing. The dialogue was outstanding. And the number one thing that I've learned, you know, from this tonight is how to utilize faith. And the Bible does faith without works is dead.
All right. Yes,
so, you know, if we take the faith and work it, and the Bible says that God has dealt to every man a measure of it, so that means that we have a right to utilize our faith. And once we do that, the result would be, as the professor was talking about, and Pastor Dockery used well, when you stir all that up and you've got genuine faith, you're stirring up, everything is already placed decently and in order. It's just about going and doing it. That's what being a doer is all about. Faith without works is dead. Keep your faith alive and watch God do his part.
All right, all right.
That's it.
Well, I certainly hope we'll be able to make some communities more viable here in just a little bit. Let me reiterate the fact that you can go to our website and learn more about what the lecture and seminar series is designed to do by simply going to www.bfcinstitute.com. And BFC stands for Building Families and Communities. Take a minute to thank our Facebook participants there. Thank you for sharing your well wishes and tuning in with us. Appreciate all of you. And we want you to come back Thursday. Now, you definitely want to come back Thursday. And those of you with your friends, post this out, because Thursday night we're going to try to understand the nature of people's dislike and disconnect with the church and trusting and things of that nature. That's a barrier. We had good conversation tonight, but the barrier to bringing that to fruition lies in what we need to fix on this coming Thursday night. And I'm always amazed at Pastor how little people understand those simple things that prevent them from being more successful. Nothing major. Don't cost no money, Mika. Ain't gonna cost you no money.
Right.
All it's gonna cost you is a change in your mind, in your action. Anyway, you've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Pastor Ricky Wallace is our regular panelist. We appreciate it. And appreciate Professor Robinson for joining us. And I'll be in touch. We'll chat again, Professor, sometime perhaps during the daytime, and pick up a little bit more where we left off there. Mika, thank you, ma'am. Is it warming?
I want to be Professor Mika. But yes, it is warming.
Professor Mika. I like it. I love it. Actually, I love it.
Since he's going to put my name on blast,
it's
like
official.
Professor Mika.
It's official. You are Professor Mika.
It's official down here.
It's a foreign name to me.
We appreciate you. Okay, with that, we're going to sign off. Yes, ma'am. We're going to sign off with that, and we appreciate you. We'll see you all Thursday night, 7 p.m. Episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, signing off, and we'll see you then.
Take care.
So tender touch.